Well, certainly, again, I want to commend the boys and girls and the young people for how well you did this morning. And I'm sure all the parents and all others who are watching and listening in would also greatly say the same. Now, whenever we come to this particular time of year, we remember the birth of a particular person. And while I'm trying to get this all set up, perhaps some young people can help me. Whose birth is it we particularly remember at this time of year? Yes, then. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's right. Now, whenever a child is born, quite often things are given to a child. Can anybody think of what would be given to a child immediately once it's born? Yes, Charlie. Clothes, excellent. Yeah, sometimes a little onesie, maybe even a little woolly hat. What else is normally given to a child? Yes, Charlie. A blanket, brilliant, very good. Any other ideas? Yes? Yes? Teddies could be given, brilliant, really good ideas. One more. A new bed, brilliant. These are all excellent suggestions. Different things can be given, such as what you've heard mentioned. Also, a nappy could be given, pretty important early on. But also something else, and that is a name. Quite often, in fact, if it's not immediately given, it will be very shortly after. A name is given to those who are born. Now, names are very interesting. For example, you get names that are very popular. Now, I'm going to ask, the name Smith, S-M-I-T-H, is a very popular name. In one of our recent censuses in the UK, how many Smiths do you think there are? Any guesses among the boys or girls? 10 Smiths, 100 Smiths, 1,000 Smiths, 100,000. How many Smiths? Yes, Bob. 1,000,000. Pretty good guess, okay. Any other guesses? Yes, Rebecca? 100,000, okay. Well, I'm told there are 729,862 Smiths, and that's not including the S-M-Y-T-H's. So that's a lot of Smiths. So there's some names that are very popular. There are also some names that are very short. There was a man who was a president of the United States. There's a picture of him. And he's known as Harry S. Truman. Now, whenever his parents were naming him, they wanted to name him after a relative called Solomon and another relative called Ship. But they couldn't choose between the two names, so they just put in the S. The S doesn't stand for anything. It's the shortest name there is. It's just called S. Harry S. Truman. So some names are really popular. Some names like this are really short. Some names also rhyme. I'm told in America around 6,000 people have names that rhyme like this. Donald, McDonald, Patrick, Fitzpatrick, Anna, Hannah. Imagine being called Anna, Hannah, or indeed any of these other names. Some names rhyme. Does any boy and girl know who Picasso was? Any? Who was Picasso? He was an artist, one of the most famous artists of the 20th century. Shouldn't have given that so soon. But some people may know that his first name was Pablo, but Pablo Picasso was not all of his name. In fact, if you look at the bottom there, all that writing in the blue is the entirety of Picasso's name. Imagine having to write that in your homework every day, you handed one in. But if you think that's bad for Pablo Picasso, one of the longest names that there is was this man's name. The beginning, he had a name for every letter of the English alphabet. You see Adolf, and then B for Blaine, C, Charles, all the rest of it, all the way down, and then one huge, humongous surname. Does anybody fancy having a go at pronouncing that surname? No? That's a really long surname, and I wouldn't fancy having to write that, certainly, any time that I was going to school. Names, some are very popular, some are very short, some rhyme, some are extremely long. But you know, whenever we come to the names of Scripture, many names in Scripture are very significant. And I want to look at the name of Christ. Now, the most popular name of Christ is in the name Jesus. But yet, 700 years earlier, in fact, I think it was maybe Thomas who recited it earlier on for us, we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us," it is you and me. This is not just for something 2,700 years ago. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name," not names, "his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I want simply to look at the name of Christ and how that's relevant to you and to me. And the first name I want us to look at is this: his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. That word wonderful simply means to be full of wonder. Now, raise your hand if you've ever looked at something or heard something and you went, "Wow." Raise your hand if you ever went, "Wow." Maybe it was a present you got at your birthday. Maybe it was even a beautiful sunset, or you're standing at the foot of a huge big mountain and you were told you had to climb that and you thought, "Wow." Something that's amazing, something that takes you back. And yet we're told that his name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus Christ is someone who would amaze us, make us to stand back and go, "Wow." You may say, "Well, what is it about Jesus Christ that would make me go, wow?" Well, in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the verse 16, we read these words: "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God became man. Now, we have heard that, I'm sure many of us this morning, many times. We've heard it at Christmas time. We've heard it in Sunday school. We've heard it in church and children's meetings, that God became man. But perhaps some of you think, "Well, what's such a big deal about that?" Well, let me try and describe this for you. That is an image of the sun. And you see the wee tiny dot to the right? That's the size of the earth compared to the sun. Now, who has ever been to Portrush? Put up your hand if you've ever been to Portrush. Did it take you a long time to get to Portrush? Yeah, Charlie's nodding, is it? It took a long time to get Portrush. But yet, the distance from here to Portrush is nothing compared to the size of the earth. And yet the size of the earth is nothing compared to the size of the sun. And yet, whenever you look into the universe, you see that the size of the sun is nothing compared to some of these other stars. And yet, whenever you look at the universe and you see that there's billions upon billions of stars within one galaxy, not to mention billions upon billions of galaxies, and yet we read in Genesis 1 that God just simply made the stars also. God made it simply with the word of his mouth. And that shows us just how great God is. And then perhaps, whenever you think that God became man, that God who's so great, who's infinite, who's without measure, he's so great, that he would take upon himself the human nature and be born as a baby. One who would be dependent upon Mary. One who would be weak and one who would be tired. One who would get hungry. That God would humble himself to become man. Surely if we were to take time to think upon that, we would go, "Wow." Maybe asking the question, "Well, why? Why would the Almighty God want to become man?" And you see, that leads us then to the second part of the name of Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful, but also his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. As in a ruler who brings peace between God and man. Now, I was talking with somebody just in the past week. I was out delivering a few Christmas boxes, and we began to talk about what peace is. And we began to think about boys and girls fighting. Does that image look familiar to any boy and girl here today? Hopefully not, hopefully not. But can you imagine fighting with somebody? And you hurting somebody. They hadn't done anything wrong. And you were offending somebody. Maybe you laughed at them. Maybe you mocked them. Maybe you hit them. But you were hurting somebody, offending somebody. And imagine then your mom and dad came along and took one and said, you get over there. Took the other and said, you get over there. And separated you and said, just don't do that anymore. Is that peace? Put up your hand, you think that's peace. Put up your hand, you don't think that's peace. You haven't got a clue. If someone has hurt, offended somebody else, and they're just simply told, just separate, be quiet, say nothing, and don't do it again, that's not peace. You see, in order for there to be true peace, there must be a coming together. For the one who's done the offending and the hurting, they must come and, well, they must be sad and sorrowful for what they've done. They must say sorry for what they've done. And if they've broken anything of the other person, well, a payment must be made. And they must also turn from what they're doing. If there's ever to be peace, if there's ever to be a coming together, there must be all of these things. Why was it that God became man? God became man because God knew that you and I were the ones who had done the hurting. You and I were the ones who had done the offending. And the one whom we have offended is God himself. We have, you think about it, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but is there any boy or girl who's ever told a lie? And yet the Bible tells us God is a God of truth. And he hates lying. It offends him. I wonder if there's any boy or girl and you've ever been disobedient. Disobedient to parents, disobedient to teachers, and yet we read that God is a God of holiness, and he hates disobedience. Wonder if there's anybody, any boy or girl, any parent who's ever been filled with pride. I'm something, I'm some great person. Well, the Bible tells that God, he hates pride. And any time we show pride, or any time we tell a lie, or any time we're selfish, we offend God's, we grieve God's. As a result, there's that separation between God and man. And so what is needed? We need somebody who's going to come and to make things right. In order for things to be made right, well, first of all, God's honor, which has been offended, well, a debt must be paid. Now, can any boy or girl tell me? Jesus Christ paid a debt. What did he pay a debt for? Whenever he died on the cross, he paid a debt for something. What was it? Yeah, sure. Our sins. He paid the debt for our sins. Whenever he hung upon the cross, it was not just simply an example of sacrifice to you and I. No, he hung on that cross for a very specific reason, to pay the debt for our sins. And he rose again so that you and I are now able to come to God and say, Lord, I have done wrong. There's the A. A, B, C, D, A. Lord, I admit I've done wrong. And I apologize for it, Lord. B, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ loved me so much. He paid the debt for me and I can be brought together. I believe that, Lord. And then C, I call out and I ask for that salvation to be applied to me, for all my sins to be forgiven. And this separation, Lord, between me and you, that we are brought together again. And D, Lord, in thankfulness, I dedicate my life to you. I turn from what I'm doing wrong. Lord, I'm going to seek and strive to do what's right. This is why God the Son came into this world. Can I ask you, have you ever asked Christ to save you? You may be able to say, oh, I know God came into this world. You may say, wow, what a wonderful thing. But do you really understand why? Because you and I, as we're born, we're separated from God. There's that offense because of our sin. But Jesus Christ has paid the debt that's necessary. We couldn't pay it. It's an eternal debt, suffering the eternal wrath of God for every single one of our sins, and millions of them. We could never pay it and satisfy it and complete that debt. But Christ did. That's why he, as fully God and yet fully man, could pay the debt. Have you ever done the ABCD? Have you Have you ever admitted, apologized for your sin? Have you ever believed and put your trust that Christ loved you and died for you? And have you ever called and asked Him to forgive you? And dedicated your life to Him in thankfulness? His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Counselor. Now, raise your hand if you like asking questions. Any here, anybody like asking questions? I know you like asking questions. I do. All right. Well, I'm going to put you a multiple choice here. How many questions on average do you think a young child asks in a day? 30? 130 questions or 300 questions? All right. So the parents can take part in this too, and all the older ones. Put up your hand, you think on average a young child would ask 30 questions a day. We'll see who's right by the end, okay? Put up your hand, you think it's around 130 on average. A few, okay. What about 300? See, all the older ones are putting their hands up. According to an article in the Telegraph a few years ago, according to a study which they reported on, around 300 questions are asked on average by those that are young to their parents or to their teachers, whatever it may be. Just imagine some of the questions, you know. Why is the sky blue? What exactly are black holes? Why is the sea salty? You may know the answer to that one. Why is it that planes fly when they're so heavy? And the big question, why is it that I can't stay up as late as you? Lots of questions being asked. But you know, boys and girls, the reality is that sometimes parents just don't know the answer. I don't know why the sea's salty. Sometimes we may think we know the answer, maybe why the sky's blue, but the reality is that we've actually got the wrong answer. Even parents can make mistakes. And if we do, we should apologize when we realize those mistakes. But do you know that there is one who's a counselor? The idea, one who is a teacher, one who has a knowledge of all things, and one who will never tell a lie, and one who will never make a mistake. And who is that teacher who will never make a mistake? Someone tell me. God, Jesus Christ, He is that counselor. He is that teacher. So let me ask you this morning, do you want to know what is right and what is wrong? Do you want to know what is truly good for you in your walk with God? Do you want to really know how it is that you can be saved? Do you really want to know how it is that you can please God and do a work for eternity? Do you really want to know that which is profitable in life, which is important and what things are not that you may prioritize? Do you want to know the truth and not be led into error? The Bible tells us, in Psalm 16, verse 7, where the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord, I will praise the Lord, for He hath given me counsel. He has given me truth. And we read where He's given us to us, because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. It goes on to say that you and I can be made perfect unto all good works. Does anybody like being lied to? Does anybody like getting things wrong? You don't have to. Because God has given His beloved Son not only to become man, wow, but to pay the debt for our sins. How amazing. And also then to tell us what's right and what's wrong. But let me ask you, do you ever take time to read the Bible? Do you ever take time, boys and girls, to ask your parents, teach me something? And then whenever they do teach you, do you listen to it and apply it to your life? Jesus Christ, the counselor, He'll never lead you in the path of wickedness, but only the path of right. He's the counselor. But also, just very briefly, His name shall be called the Mighty God. Does anybody know who has lifted the greatest deadlift weight? Does anybody know? Even some of the older ones? No. This is Him here. Sidronus Savinkus. I probably got that wrong, but anyway, he could lift from the ground over 6 times the weight of me. He's a big, strong lamb. And there's many other big, strong people as well. But while he's strong, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is stronger. Because you see, this man, he could never make the dead to live. This man could never make the lame to walk. This man could never make the blind to see. This man couldn't do that. But the Bible tells that Jesus Christ is the mighty God. See, not merely has he come to this earth to purchase salvation for us, but he's able to apply it to your heart and to mine. If you're dead in your sins, if you're not saved this morning, if you're lost, Jesus Christ has the power to give you a new heart, to love God. Perhaps you think, oh, God could never do that. Christ is the mighty God. He's able to make the dead to live. Perhaps you say, well, you know what? I've been to church many times. I've never seen anything beautiful regarding Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you, Christ is the mighty God. He's able to make the blind to see this morning. If you're not saved, you ask Christ, Lord, show me the beauty of Christ. God's the mighty God. Perhaps you say, well, you know, I'll never be able to keep that salvation, never be able to walk with God. Well, Christ is able to make the lame to walk. If you're saved this morning, you've already come to Christ, and you say, well, I keep falling into this sin, I keep falling into that sin. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ is a mighty God. He's come and he's got strength to enable you to walk with God. And then the last name this morning, his name shall be called Everlasting Father. This is a name that confused me for many years. Because Jesus Christ is not God the Father. There's a distinction between them. They're equal, but they're different persons. So why is it that Jesus Christ is called the Everlasting Father? And then it just dawned on me. I was reading something last night. A father is one who cares. A father is one who loves. And a father that is everlasting is a father is of one who loves and cares and never stops loving and never stops caring. Many things in his life change. The wind can change. 1 minute blowing that way, blowing that way next. The leaves can change. The weather can change. We know all about that in Northern Ireland. But Jesus Christ, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's the last slide this morning, and so I just close. Jesus Christ is not merely the one who was willing and able to save in years gone by, but he's willing and able to save today. Perhaps you're somebody, and you've heard the truth many times, and you think, you know what, God will not save me now. God's not willing to save me now. God's not able to save me now. I've rejected him too many times. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the everlasting Father. He still cares. He still loves. And all those that come unto him today, admitting their sin, apologizing for it, but believing that he's paid the debt, is able to bring us back to God. We call upon him. He will save you. He will save you now. And you can have then that strength to walk with God, that strength to love God, that strength to enjoy God, because Christ is the mighty God. And if Christ is your Savior, what will you do with Christ today? Let's bow in a word of prayer before we sing our final song. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the name of Christ. It reveals to us who he is. Right upon our hearts, Lord, today, the greatness, the amazing reality that God became man. This infinite God that made the universe, he became man. Right upon our hearts today, Lord, the reason why he did it, that he would bring peace between us and God. Right upon our hearts today, the willingness of Christ as a Father who cares, who never changes, to see it. And to change as the mighty God to enable. We will live for him. He's the counselor to guide us in the way that's right. He'll never make a mistake. Lord, Christ is unique. He's the only Savior. May he save today. In Jesus' name we ask. Among the boys and girls, the young people, among the older ones too, and the mums and dads and aunts and uncles and grannies and grandpas. See if we pray. For the glory of Christ we ask, giving you thanks for what you've done in the past 2 years among boys and girls and those who are saved. Lord, encourage them and help them. May many others be like them. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We're going to sing just three verses of a closing hymn as we finish. The words will be up on your screen. See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below. See today, by faith, the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. We'll sing verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5 together as we finish. Father, write these words upon our hearts. And Father, may there be nobody here this morning who thinks, you know what, I can get saved another time. For Lord, no one knows what a day brings forth. No one knows even what an hour brings forth. And Lord, we pray that you please take everybody home safely. And you'll give every one of us, Lord, a bless and a happy Christmas. But Father, true happiness is only found as we see Christ and have that salvation in him. And we love him and live for him. Father, I pray, may people put their trust in Christ before it is too late. Just in case something was to happen on the way home, an accident or something else. Or may put their trust in Christ even today, and even before they leave. Father, we give you thanks for Christ and all he's done. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, I want to thank you for coming this morning. It's been great to have you. And again, whenever it comes this evening, remember the service at 7 p.m., but also just there will be a wee bit of community singing beforehand. So if you're someone who comes within the last 5 minutes, I encourage you to come just a few minutes earlier. There better be a bit of community singing of favorite carols, okay? And also may I just mention, whenever it comes then to leaving, and for those who are visiting with us, the pattern for leaving is those in the minor hall, if you could leave through the double doors over to my right. And then whenever it comes then to leaving in this part, could this aisle leave from the back first, through double doors, and then the aisle to my right, and then the aisle in the middle. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.